Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. This is where you drive your car to Happy Valley, and Mark has an RV sitting there waiting for you for the weekend of tailgating. And guess what? For our Keystone Kickoff listeners, you just have to enter. You go to our app, Keystone Sports. There's a button there for the free RV for Ball State. You could register there. And someone is going to win that great RV for the Ball State weekend. We're doing a little bit different show here. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with one of our loyal listeners, Steve Pavlik. And we're letting Steve determine our topics. We talk quarterback for the first two segments. This segment, we're going to talk about James Franklin, the coach. Steve, the floor is yours. What are your overall thoughts on James Franklin, the coach?
I think he inherited a difficult situation, obviously, with the sanctions, and mentioned this earlier about some of the maybe recruiting that was neglected by Bill O'Brien. I think he's done a good job in the sense that he's tried to, I think, uphold this success with honor, ethos there at the school. You don't really see the players getting in serious trouble compared maybe with players at other schools. I did like his initial dominate the state focus to recruiting. But going back to maybe just at the beginning, I think it's easy to sell a program to recruits when you're just starting out. You know, you got a new coach, and I know you've mentioned this on the show, and I agree with that. I think looking at 2016, maybe ahead of schedule a little bit, losing to USC in the Rose Bowl on that national stage, I think hurt a little bit from the perception. In 2017 and 2018, I mean, these were opportunities to really achieve parity with Ohio State, and candidly, those were blown games. And it wasn't Ohio State just beat you once, they beat you twice, because we had the subsequent losses to Michigan State. And I think that sort of got Franklin, in this whole chase to try to, get on that level, achieve that parity with Ohio State, sort of chasing these five-star national players, lost that focus to the region. I don't look at dominate the state as just Pennsylvania. I see it more as New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Delaware. And I don't have any problem chasing the top players, but you can't neglect people in that region. And then we started losing top quarterback recruits. We lost a top quarterback recruit in Pennsylvania and D.C. to Ohio State and Oklahoma, respectively. And I think trying to get some of these out-of-state guys to come into Penn State and, the tradition doesn't mean as much to them, then they start transferring out, I think that's hurt. And, we've seen some of these five-star guys come here and really not go on to have that much success. We talked about Christian Hackenberg. You talk about Juwan Johnson. You could talk about Ricky Slade. That's not going to help you, close the deal here with a lot of these five-star guys. So that's has me concerned about a few things. And then I see some of these guys go in the NFL and they're going on to have great careers, and that's great, but it makes me wonder, fully utilized here at Penn State? And not to keep going, but since you gave me this soapbox, something else I'll throw out there too is just sort of this lack of identity. You see programs like Iowa or Northwestern or Wisconsin. Now, they have an identity and a scheme, and they recruit to it, and they sort of create this culture of overachieving. And I just can't help but wonder right now is, what is Penn State's identity? And we sort of have this spread offense that relies on a running game, but we don't really have a true running threat at the quarterback position, and had average probably at best offensive line play over these few years. And look, I think 2022, the recruiting class shows some hope. It looks like some of these things are trying to address. But again, losing these top guys in the region is bad enough, but when you're losing them to Ohio State, you can't help but question, what's going on here.
Would you trade Penn State's program for Iowa's, Northwestern's, or Wisconsin's?
Wisconsin right now, I might, in the sense that I think what they're doing is, again, they have a scheme and it seems to be signs of better. Their recruiting profile is getting better. It's easier to, I think, to rally around a group of overachievers. And just, I mean, right now, if you had to pick Wisconsin, I think they have an easier path than Penn State. They had that one game and the Big Ten title. But no, I'm not, don't want to question my Penn State allegiance right now, but I'm just using them as sort of examples. It doesn't have to be them. You can go outside. You could look at Alabama. I mean, Nick Saban, you know, they have a process and a profile, and they try to recruit to that. And those were just ones I tried to use from the conference there as examples.
Well, a couple things on a couple points to respond to several of the things that you said. I agree with a lot of them, maybe even most of them. I do think there's a situation when the coach comes in new, and I've talked about this before, they're able to recruit and sell hope. And you've seen that in a lot of places. Currently, we're seeing it in North Carolina. Heck, we're seeing it at Rutgers right now. You know, he's selling hope. And the fact is, you better start winning or you can't keep selling hope forever. And early on, Franklin did a great job recruiting, brought in players. But I think it's important to remember, Steve, even when he first came in and we thought, oh, he's recruiting well, he was recruiting like 12th in the country, 14th in the country, 15th, and was able to get a top 10 team. The unfortunate thing is there are three teams in Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State who are running rings around everybody else in the entire country. Beyond that, as far as how well the programs have done, I think you could take Georgia, Oklahoma, say they're on the cusp of that level, or they're the next rung down. I don't think Penn State is that far away from those things. Now, to hit some of the specific points you made, like when they lost to USC. By the way, that was one of the great games, bowl games ever. It was fantastic. It was really exciting. The only thing that went wrong was Penn State losing. And I think what's amazing is the thought they had a lead and blew it at the end. Well, first they had to make a comeback to get the lead. And a couple weeks prior in the Big Ten championship game, it was the reverse. They were down big. They made the huge comeback to beat Wisconsin. So that seemed to be the nature of that team. And I do think in some ways James Franklin has overachieved. And again, take my notes. This one, though, is first of all, is by memory. Do you know that team that year with Franklin, they beat the spread like 10 times in a row. If you started betting them that year, you did well. Now, sports gambling was not legal in this state of Pennsylvania at that time. So I'm merely just saying, if you were to do that illegally, I'm not saying that I did that, Steve. But Penn State has actually done pretty well against expectations, I think, in a lot of ways.
I guess I might push back a little bit on the expectations. I think when you look at maybe after 16, and some of the success Franklin had on the recruiting trail, I mean, in most games other than Ohio State, Penn State had the more talented roster. And based on that, it comes down to coaching. And there were a lot of games that, you know, Penn State lost in those games. I understand, look, it's unrealistic unless you're at Alabama to think that you're just going to go undefeated every season. And I don't, you know, expect that. But it just seems there were a number of games, you know, like Michigan State, I'm just even beyond just last year where, you know, we're going into these games, we have more talent and the game's closer than it should be, or we're losing to teams that have inferior talent, and just makes you wonder, well, what's that a product of? And I can't help but wonder as a fan, does that mean you're being served poorly at the coaching level?
One of the things that you talked about, and we on our show, we talk a lot about recruiting. That's the lifeblood of any college football program. And I think you hit it really well, Steve, where when Franklin first got here, he recruited really well. It maxed out, was it 2018 when they had like a number 6 ranked class or something like that? They did very well. And then the recruiting petered out a bit. And I think there's something to what you're saying about trying to recruit nationally then and not taking care of your backyard. Now, is the backyard Pennsylvania or is it the region? I'm like you, I think it's the region. But you also have years. There was one year, the state of Pennsylvania only had 4 guys who were 4-star players or above. 4. So you have to go bigger. But is it unfair to ask James Franklin to compete with Ohio State, who is recruiting, they are recruiting nationally, Steve. Could you recruit regionally and compete with them, do you think?
Well, going back to, had you not blown those games in 17 and 18, you know, maybe Ohio State wouldn't be at that advantage. And I go back to competing for the region. It's one thing, you're not going to get every guy. I mean, look, there are guys that want to go away for school and stuff. Like, I get that. You're not going to get all 10 of the top 10 players out of Pennsylvania or in that region every year. But what you can't have happen is you can't have the best quarterback in Pennsylvania go to Ohio State. Okay, well, that doesn't work out. Well, then we can at least get the best guy in D.C. who went to my high school. But no, he's going to Oklahoma. All right. As Franklin can't let that become the standard and to just not do anything about that, I just think is pretty poor. And I'm just using that as an example of where, you know, that didn't work out on the recruiting end. Again, it seems like 22 that they're trying to address some of this. I think they're maybe getting back to the roots here a bit. And the early success was built on getting a lot of these guys to overachieve. I mean, Saquon Barkley wasn't a five-star recruit. They were able to develop a lot of these three and four-stars. I think they do a better job of that, candidly, than they do handling the five-stars. A lot of the five-stars they bring end up playing like three-stars, and maybe they get some of these three and four-stars to play more like five-stars. And I guess that's where I go back to the Northwesterns, the Iowas, the Wisconsins. It seems like they're able to get more out of less. And, you know, as a fan, that's something that sort of appeals to. And I don't want to, you know, romanticize the Paterno era and going back to that. But, you know, I think there was some sort of, you know, understanding there, like, hey, you know, our guys are going to excel. They're going to play tough. They're going to have an identity. And that made it easy as a fan to root for. And I'd like to get back to that.
I think, and I agree with a lot of that, Steve. And I thought that when they de-emphasized, I'll say, the regional guys, and some of it, you don't know what all the circumstances were. Like Inai White, who's the number one player in the 22 class in the state of Pennsylvania, he doesn't even have Penn State in his top six or eight or whatever it is. It's pretty obvious he wasn't looking to go to Penn State. Nolan Rucci, his brother playing at Wisconsin. You have a lot of those things. But to me, the bigger number is, I mentioned there was a year where there were only four elite players in Pennsylvania. This past year, there were seven, and Penn State only got one of them. That's not a good record.
And he may play baseball, and he may end up playing baseball.
And candidly, my recommendation to the kid would probably be to play baseball. You get a nice signing bonus if he's drafted high enough, you know. But and we're going to hit on more of this. We're not done here. But, yes, I do agree, and I'm pretty happy about the 22 class and how it's going. That's where we're going to start in quarter number four, Steve. I'm going to ask you about the 22 class. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.